الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madini channel, there are many excellences of reciting As-salat ala nabi, durood sharif upon the best of creation, our master, our intercessor, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ Recite salat upon me wherever you may be. Wherever you are, recite salat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي Why? Because indeed your salat reaches me. That recitation of as-salat ala nabi, that will reach me. So inshallah, wherever we may be, in the masajid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at home, in the comfort of our own homes, whether we're at work, whenever we get time, we should recite salat ala nabi. Why? We're told in this narration that it reaches the beloved Prophet sallallahu عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Let's make some good intentions as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has said نية المؤمن خير من عمله A believer's intention is better than his action The first hadith of Sahih Bukhari is إنما الأعمال بالنيات Indeed أعمال actions are based upon intentions Let's make the intention that we will listen to the bayan attentively. Let's also make the intention that we will try our utmost to act upon what has been learned and convey it to others as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you have an opportunity to do a good deed, make good intentions in abundance prior to that action. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to do so. Inshallah, in the time I have, I will be discussing the benefits of illness. Yes, you heard that right. The benefits of illness. Normally, we discuss the benefits of salah, offering salah, and there are immense benefits. We hear the benefits of giving charity, sadaqah in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the benefits of coming to the house of Allah jalla wa ala, the benefits of treating others kindly in a nice manner. All of these are good, encouraged in Islam. But we don't often hear about the benefits of illness or a disease that may have inflicted us. Normally when we're afflicted, then we think the worst. And we'll hear about the examples that can be found at this time. What people say, what people do when they're ill. When they fall ill and when they become unhealthy. But first of all, let me mention a beautiful hadith which is found in Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat of Imam Tabarani rahimahullah ta'ala. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an. He narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, It is strange that a believer fears illness if he came to know what lies for him in illness. Then he would prefer to remain ill for his entire lifetime. Allahu Akbar. Then the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his head towards the heavens and smiled. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. They asked, of course, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the wisdom behind this action? You looked towards the heavens and you smiled. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was amazed that two angels I saw two angels and they were in search of a person. They went to the masjid that he would offer ibadah salah in. They could not find him there. So they went back to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they said, Ya Allah, we would write good deeds for him when he would go to the masjid and he would perform ibadah day and night. And then we saw that you have afflicted him with illness, tribulation. We didn't find him in the masjid. He wasn't there. Allah Almighty said, Subhanallah, glad tidings. Allah Jalla wa Ala said, the deed that my slave did during the day and night, write that for him, do not reduce it, and as long as he is afflicted with tribulation, with illness, his reward is upon my grace. And for him is also the reward of the deeds that he used to do, meaning when he was healthy. Subhanallah, this is a hadith mentioned by Imam Tabarani. And you just heard how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that when the angels did not find this person in the masjid, who would go to the masjid day and night, they didn't find him there. They went back to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they mentioned this. And they said, Ya Allah, you have afflicted him. He is in a tribulation. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That those good deeds that he used to do, the reward that used to be written for him during those days and nights when he would frequent the masjid, write those good deeds for him. Do not decrease his reward. Subhanallah, his reward is upon my grace as long as he is afflicted. Write the good deeds that he used to do whilst in a state of good health. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So many beautiful points can be extracted from this hadith or based on this hadith. The first thing we find is that we should smile. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. And this was before the Sahaba. When we meet our fellow Muslim brothers, our fellow Muslims, what do we do? Unfortunately, there are some people who it seems like they have a permanent frown on their face. They're always appearing to be sad, grief-stricken, worried, concerned, and they don't smile. But remember, in the hadith we're told that when you smile at your fellow Muslim brother, this is sadaqah for you, this is a form of charity for you. You don't have to take any amount of wealth out of your pocket. You don't have to spend £5, £10 in the way of Allah. You just simply smile at your fellow Muslim brother and you're given the reward of sadaqah. This is sadaqah for you. But people don't do it. In this hadith we're told that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked towards the heavens and he smiled. The second thing we learn, that an ill person should never dislike the illness, should never be overly worried whenever he falls ill. Because look at the hadith. The hadith tells us when a person falls ill and he cannot do the good deeds that he used to do while healthy, Allah orders the angels to write the same good deeds for him. Allah says, don't decrease his reward. His reward is upon my grace. And we learn that illness is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he states that when a person falls ill, this is actually cure for his other illnesses. When a person falls ill, his spiritual illnesses are also removed. Love of the world, love for wealth, miserliness, hard-heartedness, these things are removed when he falls ill. So it's a blessing. And another thing we come to know is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not a normal, ordinary human being like me and you. How do we know this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whilst on the earth, observed all of this, observed the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He informed that the angels visited a particular masjid. They couldn't find an abid, a worshipper there. Then the angels went back to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated what he said, meaning continue writing rewards for him. Rewards that he would attain whilst in good health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with ilmul ghaib, knowledge of the unseen. And he could see things as well. His faculty of sight, his vision was way stronger and more powerful than an ordinary human being. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi writes in this regard, the Prophet alayhi salam is aware of his every follower and every action of theirs. The blessed vision of the Prophet alayhi salam sees darkness, light, the apparent, the hidden, the present, the absent, and everything that will perish. And the founder of Dawat Islami, Maulana Ilyas Qadri, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, has mentioned in one of his booklets, Dark Skinned Slave, that by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Jalla wa Ala has given the Prophet alayhi salam knowledge of the unseen. And this is proven from the Quran. Let us speak from the Quran. In part 30, verse 24, Surah Takweer, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. And this Prophet is not miserly in revealing the knowledge of the unseen. In Surah Jinn, verse 26 and verse 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ. Allah is the knower of the unseen. He does not completely disclose His knowledge of the unseen to anyone except to His chosen messengers. إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ. Except to His chosen messengers. And in the Quran also, Para 4, verse 179 of Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And it does not befit the dignity of Allah to give you, O common people, knowledge of the unseen. Yes, Allah chooses from His messengers whom He wills to grant the knowledge of the unseen. Subhanallah. This is the proof from the Quran regarding the immense knowledge of the unseen possessed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in the hadith collection, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala, he states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, I saw Allah Almighty, and He placed a manifestation of His power between my shoulders. Its coolness was felt in my chest. Everything became clear to me at that time, and I recognized everything. Again, from the hadith we are told that the Prophet ﷺ has vast knowledge of the unseen. Going back to the hadith that was mentioned right at the beginning about the benefits of illness, we find out from that hadith that someone who falls ill, he should not lament, he should not cry, he should not wail, he should not mourn. Why? Because those acts of obedience and ibadah that he would do in a state of good health, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes that reward for him when he falls ill as well. When he is incapable and unable to do those good deeds, Allah Jalla wa Ala writes that reward for him as well. So, what does that mean? That means that when we're in good health, we should make the most of that. Whilst we're ill, if we want to receive the most reward, then that means in good health, do as much good as you can. 5 daily salah you have to read anyway, therefore, then recite the Quran also. When you're ill, you'll receive the reward for reciting Quran, if you can't recite it. Also recite Durood Sharif, As-Salat al-Nabi, when you're in good health. So when you fall ill, you'll receive the reward of As-Salat al-Nabi as well. When you're in good health, giving charity. When you're in good health, deal with people in a good manner. Show good akhlaq, good conduct towards people. And when you fall ill and you can't interact with people, you'll still be given the reward of doing so. So, this hadith tells us that when you're in a good state, when you're healthy, do as much as you can. And inshallah, if you ever fall ill, then it's part of life we fall ill, then we'll receive the same reward for all those deeds that we did whilst healthy as well, inshallah. Another thing that we note is that this hadith does not say that you are to leave good actions totally whilst ill. Remember, illness has different categories, different stages and levels as well. There are some people who have a cold or a flu. That cold or a flu does not mean you abandon salah. I've got a fever, that means that salah is not fard for me anymore. No. For this purpose, you have to consult with the ulama of Islam, in particular the muftiyane kiram. You express your situation, you mention your situation, that I feel this problem or that problem, what am I to do? It may be the case that in your situation, the mufti sahab says, okay, if you can't perform namaz in the normal way, sit on a chair. But you have to actually have your situation checked by a mufti of Islam. Today what happens is, we just assume that I've got a bit of pain in my leg, in my thigh, I can sit on a chair. But remember, there are intricacies, there are detailed rulings to this, who can sit on a chair, who can't sit on a chair. I remember Islam where it has a lot of ease, a lot of concession, a lot of dispensation for people. At the same time, the Fard Salah, for example, is so emphasized that if someone can't read it standing up, he reads it sitting down. If he can't read it sitting down, he reads it whilst lying down. If he can't gesture with his limbs, he gestures with his eyes. This is what Islam tells us. So we have to know both sides. We can't just say, we don't think it's that strict, or we think we're all right if we do this, and we just go by our own opinion. This is wrong. We have to learn the deen. We have to ask about the deen. Now, the topic was the benefits of illness, which are hardly covered. Normally, illness is only seen as, state of stress, worry, tension, depression. And people, you ask them, how are you? Oh, brother, why are you asking about my health? Where can I start? I've got this problem and I've got that problem, and our problems, the list of our problems are endless. But let's listen to a few ahadith in this regard, inshallah, which will open our eyes to the fact that illness is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Tariq Medina Dimashq, there's a hadith: if Allah Almighty afflicts someone with a bodily illness, that illness becomes a cause of forgiveness for him. Maghfirah is written for him when he falls ill. And we don't think like that. Another narration in At-Targhib wa Tarheeb: when a believer falls ill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies him, cleanses him, the way a furnace purifies and cleanses the rust of iron. An iron gets rusted and a furnace removes that rust. This example is given in the hadith: when a believer falls ill, Allah purifies him of his sins. Again, another hadith, and this is in At-Targhib wa Tarheeb as well, that the sins of the sick person fall just as the leaves of a tree fall. Subhanallah. In Qutul Qulub, it states, Allah Almighty said, I have made dependency a prison, and illness a chain, and tie with them whomsoever I like amongst creation. So illness comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no point complaining about it. It comes from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Bukhari, it stated, when a person is ill or a traveler, then those deeds are written for him that he used to do in good health or at home. Subhanallah. A person falls ill, we've heard about this, that all those good deeds he did whilst healthy are written for him as well, if he's not able to carry them out. Somebody who goes for travel, because of travel constraints, he's not able to do the normal ibadah. And again, this refers to nawafil, voluntary ibadah. That's written for him. Fard have to be fulfilled anyhow, even if you're a traveler. Obviously, the rulings, they become lighter if you meet the conditions of a musafir, a traveler, and you read qasr salah instead, for example. But this refers to a person who would, for example, wake up for tahajjud salah, and he would perform tahajjud salah consistently. Now that he is a traveler and he's not able to, he will still receive the reward of tahajjud as well. So subhanallah, illness is a cause of forgiveness, we learn. We learn that it's a way of purifying sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he afflicts someone with illness, he's making him his beloved. He's granting him proximity. And we learn that when one recovers from an illness, and in one narration we're told, if one recovers from an illness, Allah wills for him to recover, then he is given new flesh, new blood, and he is healthier than before as well. So all of these things tell us that when we fall ill, we should be patient. We should display patience. We're actually being blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And listen, in Sahih Muslim, once a Sahabiya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, whose name was Sayyidatuna Umme Sa'ib radiyallahu anha, she was shivering. We shiver as well in the winter seasons when we fall ill. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why are you shivering? And she humbly replied, I have a fever. May Allah Almighty not bless it. This was what she said. These were her words. I have a fever. May Allah Almighty not bless this fever. Upon this, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, do not despise fever, because it removes the sins of a person just as a furnace removes the rust of iron. We heard this in a previous hadith as well. Subhanallah. Remember, the scholars of hadith have stated under this particular narration that fever affects every vein in the body from head to toe. And because of that, when Allah forgives you, He forgives the complete sins from head to toe as well. Sins that you've done with all different bodily parts and limbs as well. So there is blessing in actually suffering from fever. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is in Sahih Muslim as well, fever is an expiation for sins, kafara for sins. And when the Sahaba heard this, for example, Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, you know what he did? He supplicated to always remain in a state of fever. Hence, the state of fever remained until he passed away. Sahabi Rasul, and this is mentioned in Qutul Qulub. Some Ansari companions, alayhim ridwan, they also made this supplication. Hence, the state of fever remained with them until they departed from the world. Allahu Akbar. But, as I was mentioning before, this was the way of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alim Ajma'in, who had a superior level of Iman. And when hearing these ahadith of the Prophet Alayhi Salaam, they would pray for fever, to be inflicted with fever. We are weak beings. We are very weak beings. The dust beneath the feet of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, we're not even equal to that. And this is why the ulama advise that we shouldn't actually pray for illness. We should pray for afiyah. And this is found in hadith as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. The Prophet alayhi salam prayed, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Oh Allah, I ask you for mu'afa. Mu'afa means well-being. Good health, you could say as well. I ask you for well-being in the dunya and the akhirah as well. So this is a dua that we should make. But when we're inflicted with illness, we don't cry, we don't tell the world, we don't post it on social media, or, you know, I'm suffering, you know, show pity on me. No, Allah is afflicting us, Allah will take us out of that illness. And whilst all of this is happening, our sins are being forgiven, our ranks are being raised, subhanAllah, we're being purified. And remember, these were the same illnesses, especially fever, etc., that also came to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had the honor of coming to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other Anbiya alayhi salam as well. And it's related regarding one of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, that when he was afflicted with fever one night, you know what he did? Subhanallah. He actually began to perform nawafil for the entire night. Why did he do so? In gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, you have afflicted me with the same illness that came to the Anbiya alayhim salam as well. Look at the mindset, look at the way of thinking they had. And look at our thinking today. We fear the worst. Oh, my routine has been disturbed. I'm ill, that's happened, and this has happened. And then we start taking it out on others. We become irritable. And we lash out at others. But this is not the way of a Muslim. A Muslim shows patience. And if you want the reward of the illness, then we must remain patient as well. Subhanallah. So, an ill person who displays impatience, let's hear a bit about that now. If someone who is not patient when he is afflicted with an illness, what happens to him? This narration is mentioned in the Muwatta of Imam Malik. It's stated in a hadith that when a person becomes ill, Allah Almighty commands two angels that go and look at the person who is afflicted with illness, go to him, see what he says about me. Inquire about him. If he is grateful to Allah Almighty and says something good, what happens? Both the angels supplicate for him. And if he complains and says the illness is bad, etc., both of the angels say, remain in that state. This is something that we should ponder upon as well. When we're ill and somebody comes to us for iyadat, what do we do? Do we start, you know, crying? Do we start expressing grief? Do we start, you know, even lashing out at that person as well? That it's been so many days and you just managed to come now to meet me. Where have you been? You don't care about me, etc. Here in the hadith we're told that when a person falls ill, Allah orders the angels that go to him, see what he's saying. If he praises Allah, if he says, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, If he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens? The hadith mentions that the angels supplicate for him. The ma'soom, the infallible, the sinless angels of Allah praying for that person who is ill, the patient. And if he is not patient, if he says something else, if he shows ingratitude, complains about the illness, what happens? The angels say, remain in that state. So he continues remaining ill. So what should we do? Well-being lies in remaining patient. The illness will go, inshallah, and we want the reward to come with it as well. We don't want to be deprived of the reward. And remember, there are many wisdoms behind illness. Many, many wisdoms. A person realizes his weakness. A person realizes he is not all-powerful. A person is saved from arrogance, is saved from so many spiritual diseases. And when a person doesn't fall ill, he thinks he's invincible. He thinks he's very powerful and he can do anything. And remember, the scholars of Islam have said, stating the reason why Fir'aun claimed to be Allah, Ma'adallah, why Fir'aun claimed to be the Lord. It's stated in Ihya al-Ulum that one of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, said that Fir'aun claimed to be God because he was not afflicted with an illness for hundreds of years. Remember, in those times, people used to live for long. 400 years, in fact, passed. Fir'aun did not suffer a headache, did not suffer any illness. And because of that, he became very arrogant. He felt invincible. He felt nothing can stop him. And that pious predecessor says, let alone a full headache, if he even suffered from half a headache, where you suffer in part of the head, pain, then he would not have claimed Godship. He would not have claimed to be God. Rather, he would have even abandoned useless activities as well. But in 400 years, he did not suffer any illness. And this is what led to him becoming arrogant. So who knows, Allah Ta'ala is inflicting us to save us from arrogance, to save us from pride, to save us from considering ourselves powerful and invincible. This is a sign maybe from Allah that, look, you are to bow down in my court. You are to seek help from me in difficulty. I remember the one who praises Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in a good state whilst healthy, inshallah, when he is afflicted, Allah's aid will be with him. Remembering Allah in times of ease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you in times of difficulty. And this is what happens when we're healthy, when we're not suffering any illness, we forget, we become heedless, we become negligent. And as soon as we're afflicted with something, it could be a bodily illness, could be a financial hardship, it could be something else. And then that's when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then even in that, there is great wisdom as well. If that difficulty has led you to coming to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't that a blessing? Of course, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to conclude, illness is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst we're alive, we will suffer illnesses. There's been nobody who's lived his entire life without any illness whatsoever. Bil-akhir, in the end, he will suffer an illness. And then many people at the time of death as well suffer terminal illnesses. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many wisdoms, many hikam behind it. What are we to do as believers? We are to remain patient. We are to ask Allah to give us strength in these situations. We are not to complain to people, have a long list of complaints. If you were to write a long list of complaints, we should also write a long list of our blessings. And that list of blessings will far outweigh and dominate that list of complaints. And those complaints, insan, the fitrah, the nature of insan is that he is very hasty. And if his difficulty doesn't go away in a year or 2 years, and he starts thinking the worst. But after those 2 years, after those 3 years, maybe the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have eased his situation. But no, he's losing reward by being impatient, by complaining, by wailing, by mourning. And today, as I mentioned, social media, people post things on there that, oh, nobody's helping me, nobody's coming to my aid, people are backstabbers, people are matlabi, people don't look out for others. You are to implore in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were never told in the Quran to always go to people. You were told in the Quran, ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'ani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I answer the call of the supplicant when he supplicates to me. And when they were asked, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm close to the believer. And we're told in the Quran, closer than a believer's jugular vein. So the mercy of Allah is close to us. And if we are to seek from His court, plea in His court, Jalla Jalaluhu, inshallah, our illnesses will go away and we'll also gain a great amount of reward as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand the wisdoms, the hikam behind illnesses and to remain patient whenever we're afflicted with them and to stay far away from displaying impatience, grieving, mourning, crying, lamenting. Why? Because Allah has placed us in that difficulty and He will take us out of it as well. May Allah Jalla wa Ala accept what has been said and enable us to act upon it. Ameen, bijahin Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.